Mr. Mackenzie, Reel 3. We're just talking about your first day in the army. What are your other recollections of that first day?
We got caught going across the square. So then we went to the there, and then the huts. We designate the huts. And the huts was.
Can you describe them? The huts and the accommodation.
Well, the huts was there was the top end, right at the top end, up the top end. There was the coal bunkers, and then there was four huts coming down over. Hooch and Inkman. Inkman was on one, so Inkman was the top ones, Hooch was the next two down. They were there. And when we got in this hut, there was windows out. Glass out. And it was in, I can't remember, it was in there. And the glass, there was a couple of bricks of glass out, and the fire wasn't on. The first thing we had to do was go outside and turn these stones over and put them in a position. And then go and get the mattress, the blankets, go down and go to the stores, get two blankets, two sheets, and a pillowcase. So we went down there, came back again, and then they decided when we got these things that they would put her in barracks. So the corporal came there, who was in the barrack at the time, came and took the names out there, and then we weren't in the right barracks if some of them changed over. And I just stopped in the same barrack, so I didn't change, but a few of them did. And we got that way inclined. So we weren't putting the two thing, 135, I think it was about 135 men and were gone in.
Is this into the barracks?
Into the barracks. So we're the first ones into them ones. They reopened them. There was the
what
men
were they, like?
They were atrocious. There were two double bunk beds. Some of the floors was rather rough.
Can you describe each barrack? How many beds and what sort of furniture was inside them?
There was as soon as you went through the door, you turned round and there was a bed on that side. Then there was a bed on that side. And then you went in the corporal's. There was a bed, it was a corporal's room. I can't remember those two beds in the corporal's room. And he had a slight locker, a little locker on that one. Each one had a locker. There were double bunks and went up across 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it was 10 on one side and 10 on one side, 9 the other. There. And they were all full. I think it was about 10. Or it would be 11 on one side and 10 on that. Something like that. And that's what it was. We were in the camp. And then from there we came out. After we got that, we were taken, sat down and got their names and registered and all that one. We were taken down and we were given a meal. In the course. Well, to see the worst and the best, we left most of the stuff. And when we came out, we had to wash our cups and pots and our plates. Well, the water was, the people had been before, you know, this thing. The water was, say, at the least moderate. Anything else, a lot of the lads didn't know whether it was a slop bin or anything else, they were just washing the things in the bucket there. And the clean one was dirty and what the first one was. So you weren't very pleased about that. So you came up again and you went back in there and you used the wash bit, there was toilets just when we came up. There was no hot water, but it's a little bit warm, so we used to go up. I went and washed mine down in that one, I just done that one. And then we went up the barracks again. Then, of course, an officer came in, and the sergeant looking near me, and then you had to go and get paid after that one, because you went outside. And about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you had to go and get paid. And the first one, I think it was 7 shillings. You would have shoot. So you're in debt straight away.
Was this on your first day?
Yes, paid on the first day, 7 shillings. And then when you got your 7 shillings, you got deduction straight away. Because I brought a mug, I brought a duster, I brought Blanco, and I brought Basso. And I brought a toothbrush and toothpaste. Put the Yiddish side it, go into that one, that would get them issued. So we had them. Blanco, he said you had them, you will not answer back. So we had that. Then you got them. And then I forget the rest of the thing, because after that one was you got paid, you were just, you were turning down somewhere, then you were showing the camp, around the camp, that was it. Next one you were, well you weren't marched, but you were putting the, you know, showing you how to get into line and through that one. So you took down, you showing where the guard room was, you showing where the wash house was, you were showing where the naffy was, you know, the naffy, and you were showing you out the bounce places where you weren't allowed in, the muddy quarters and that way. Then you came back again. And it was dark by then, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So you had to go in the camp. And the first thing I'd do was to set yourself up with your gear, right? And start to learn how to deal with. Some of the lads that was in were cadets. You know, lads that had been in a cadet force. About three or four of them had been in. So they were, you know, showing you the belt and how to do it. But then you start to brussel, but you know, the brussel and straight away. Then your boots polished, you know, polishing them. Put a bit of black boot polish on there. Try and save yourself a bother. And of course, the next morning, 6 o'clock, up again, shouted at, took down.
What did you think of your first day in the army then? What were your thoughts?
Well, what do you think? You're in a bloody camp, you're sitting there. You know, nobody in the place. I mean, see, Harris was across that one. Harry's in this one. The other lads are across there. So,
I was just going to ask you about the people you actually joined with. Did you know them at all? Were they from the same area, your friends?
No. There's only three. It was me. There was only four went together. Were there? There was a couple of blokes in the camp. Was what we knew. They were like, you know, regulars. We knew them too, but we didn't see them till till you get time to walk around and see places. But the lads I was with, the one above me, was a lad called from, he was from Stanley. There was Stanley, Crook, Pelton, Durham, Stockton. There was a one from Newcastle, Reckoning, Gated. And yes, you, at the end of the day, you weren't asking about them, you're just trying to sort yourselves out. And of course, you've always got the big know-how. And then, of course, when you've got your 7 shillings, the first thing about 6 o'clock, just before you're going to get your, because you had a supper then, didn't you? The supper was about 7 o'clock then. You got the wise boys, the two wise boys that comes in thing. There's a box of chocolates, Cadbury's milk tray chocolate box. Pound box. Now it's only 6 men done the domino card. And he's gone around trying to do that one. And he says, you've got to buy it. You've got to buy because it's gone to this one. I says, as far as I'm concerned, you can stick it where, you know. He says, what? I says, I'm not buying this domino card. Then he says, well, there's a raffle, you know, for the other prize in a bottle. I says, if you buy these, I says, you're getting flammed. I says, because they've won them. And at the end of the day, a month later, we caught them. And he's trying the same thing, you know, with another skip there. It's another skip. So I stood on his box of chocolates, a pound box. And it was all it was one of them sure ones, you know, a sure box. I says, there's your chocolates, lads. And he goes, oh, and he's done that way to run.
Just before we go on about and talk about things like training and your drill and that sort of thing, can you describe the camp? Was it very big?
Big?
The Bransworth camp.
Well, it was a big camp. It was.
You were shown round on that first
day.
Yeah,
well, the camp was there. The camp was here, and then you've got the castle, and you had wafts in the, it was just below the car. There was two huts. There was two or three because we never got near them ones right there. But the castle was there for the officers. The officers in the castle. And I think some of the admin was up there. And the camp was one, obviously, there was only, when we were there, there was only four, phone, see the for the maintenance, for the maintenance and stuff in that one, see three huts there. The rest of it was all bare, nothing in it. The wagons were just, they were just bringing stuff into it. They were just opening to come up. It wasn't used there because it had been mothballed. I think before that, the artillery had been in before that one, because you could see where the artillery had been up with the guns and everything else, all the passes up, you know, so like everything else, that's why we had to go out, put the stones and make it reasonable for the office, and then have to paint the bloody thing, you know, and that's the old way of doing it and stuff like that.
So how many barracks and buildings were there then?
Oh, well, it's got to be for a battalion. There's got to be a battalion, so it's got a bit there. The battalion came back there, so it holds over 1,000 men. So it'll be a big, it's got to be a big camp. We were just at the top end. There was other one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on one side, 1, 2, 3. We were 6 on both sides. And then there was along the back end, and there was the far end was there. There was a salt course. There was a hockey pitch there, football pitch. And on the other side, there was Derek Crouch, who was the one that had put the windows on, because he was open cast. And his machine was going across, well, anything else, it wasn't there. If some of them catch in, anything else, it would, you know, fly off.
So the vast majority of the camp was empty?
Oh, it was empty, just been opened up. It was put in there for the, well, it was opened up for, just in case the 2nd Battalion had to be opened up, because we didn't, what we were told was, when we went through, that do you want to make a career of it? We just thought a career. So naturally, like everything else, most would just thought, oh, well, RC, RAA, no, we don't want to, we're just National Service. Then they ask you to sign on, well, none of us want to do that, because you've got £2 for it, we've got 20, I think it was 21 shillings, which we've got there. Then we got 28 shillings. And of course you had to take the off takes off of that one, because you've got to send money back. The government's very good at that. You take money off so you can save yourself there the bother. And with my dad being there, and he's been on the sick, my sister says, right, I'll send 7 shillings. Harry had to send 10 and sixpence for his mother. A lot of people nowadays keep on working it out and just don't understand, but it was either a shilling or sixpence a day. And it was the maximum you had to do. You know, you go higher, but it was all the same as shilling a day. And that's how we got paid them days. 28 shillings. And we went from there to the ranges. After we'd done, you know, on the square. Well, the square was something where there was a snowstorm and there was ice on it. So you couldn't, you had to try and clean up. But he couldn't get on properly.
What was your daily routine then when you first started?
Get up in the morning.
What time was reveille?
Reveille was 6:30. 7 o'clock, you had to be out. You had to be out and you stood to attention. You were taken on either a run or a march or that like it, or a march, and you come back. You got your breakfast at 7:30. 8 o'clock, you went on parade again, sorted that out. And then you could go at 10 o'clock, you'd come in and you'd got a break at 10 o'clock. 10 till quarter past, that was when you went down to the Nappy, if you had money. If you hadn't, you just went back to camp and sat in the bloody thing. And then you went back in, 11 o'clock till 12, then you were on duty again. And I think it was 12 to 1 up, or maybe 1 to 2, then you went back again. Then, of course, you had to go into the, like, teaching, you know, like in the cousin teaching you that one. In between that, you had to go and see the dentist, you had to see the doctor. And then you started the runs, like the one from Brandford up to Wellington, then Wellington higher up again, then further up, and until you got up to 15 miles. Then you were going, then you started the 2-2 ranges. We'll put on the 2-2 ranges. Then the 303s. And this was before then. We were firing 303s and 2-2 there. So it'll give you an idea how fast we're trying to train with.
We'll probably come on to training a little bit later. What about kit inspections?
Kit inspections every day. That was done every day. Your doors, the came in, the doors had to be done. That was as you had to clean everything else, the spotless and everything else. If there was a bit of dust,
The room inspections as
room
well?
Room inspection. All room inspection every day.
How did they work, the room inspections?
Room inspection go around every first. The officer in the man had to go around, check the things up, check all the kit, see it was perfect. If it didn't, you would pull all the coat. Then they'd go around and find some stupid thing, like if the fire was on, you hadn't blackened the fire. You had to blacken the fire. It was only a bloody old, bloody iron, bloody thing. It was stuck there a little bit. But you had to blacken it. We were going to try and paint it, but we got around for it. Save the bother.
And what about kit inspections?
Every day. Cleaned up your boots. Then the coat would come in. The coat wasn't very good because we were lucky. He was a bit of a, what can I say? A gentleman. In other words, he didn't want to come back in there, so he didn't come up that much. He's kind of a lad.
What about punishments if there were things wrong with your kit? What was the
punishments? Oh, Jantis, you had to go down to the guard room, run around the camp, clean some things up. If you got into Jantis, the best thing to do was to go into the kit, walk around and do the get into the boiler, not the boiler house, get the boiler house so he can move some coal. But he went to do that one. You also had to take the coat down to the cookers. So if you went round to the cookers, you could always get yourself some scran because the cooks was always on. So that was one of the jackets that you had to do. But if they caught you, of course, it was an old salt. I tell you, those three lads in Berkeley, so they sure as ought to gone on. That's what we used to do, that one for the jam.
How did you react to this discipline and your colleagues around you, how did they react to it?
Well, what can you do? Your lads, you've got timid people. You've got the other ones that's boisterous. You've got the ones that's big-headed. You've got the other ones. So you sit there and you look at each other. And you think about it. And we decided, when we're sitting there, about six of us, we're in and we're going to keep close together. We'll look after each other. If anybody comes in and there's anything there, one, six of them. Then it was 10. Then the whole hut, you know what I mean? So that were, like, joined in. That was that. That's where you get teamwork. But three or four kept together and everything else. And most of the time we got on, then we went across the other hut, but you try to keep you there. But we're going across the other hut and trying to make arrangements to speak the lads and going across. And gonna cross way, but they want a hooch in England, be two football teams, both that way. That was what it was.
Did you consider the discipline harsh?
Well, no, what I said when I went in, I was going to go in and do 2 years, well, 18 months actually, but it was 2 years after that one. I was going to go in, get out as fast as I could, and go back my trade, because a lot of world tradesmen. You see, in the hut what we were in, there was 5 bricklayers, 4 joiners, 5 painters, and the rest of them was like you see farmers, but they weren't farmers. They were actually looking after cattle and sheep, and that one. That was their jobs, and they were doing actually that one. Even they were in the army. The other lads, well, they were just some ex-men that just come out the pits and hadn't decided what to do. Oh.
So there was a broad cross-section of backgrounds of the men?
Yeah, all different parts in there. I don't think it was any two people together. If you see that one, if you see it like Pidville, you had like Stanley concert in that type there, but they weren't that way. But there was a place up there with about 5 men coming together. And they got on the bus and were getting like a Pidville, 1, 2, 3, and they were about a mile apart. But that's the way. But they never spoke. They very, even when they went, when they left up there after the years, they still don't speak to each other. They're never there. It's strange, but that's one of the things that happens.
How did you react to lack of privacy? You were a large group of young men together in a barrack.
You've got the ones that's frightened. You've got the other ones. And if you had to go down to the showers and anything else in there, the only way you could go down there was you had to walk down the path. You could either put your sand shoes on, but you're going to get inspected, and there was snow, right? You put your boots on, so you were going down there. You weren't going to go down with your trousers and anything else, because that was, you had to be dressed. So the quickest way to go down was the same as anything else. Get yourself stripped down, put a pair of your underwear under, and just bloody dip. Well, we used to keep our own stuff. You're supposed to take all your stuff back on the weekend, you know, when you went back over. Because on the Saturday, you went back home to take all the stuff away, right out of camp. They didn't want nothing in there. So what we've done, we've kept with some of the gear. And like, that's us here. He says, keep them ones, and saves you all the bother getting there. So he says, you can run down the toilet, Norman, come back, take their business, and come back. He says, and that's where you didn't get caught. He says, we caught you. Well, he says, all he can see, I was caught short. And that's, you know, that's as right you are. I've learned that one. And I made sure that one. Some of them didn't, they just, you know, doing their thing. I mean, it was pretty bitterly cold then. We said, we were in January, we were in December, and bloody January, February. And we came out there. We were there about 6 weeks. And as I say, we got there, moved to Christmas, and we came out on Christmas. We only got 4 days.
I don't know. Just going back, were you doing any other sort of duties there? Did you have any, were you given any particular responsibility?
I got the coal duty, where the bloke come up and you know, you had to issue the coal out like that, you know, the buckets. You had to go in and get the buckets, and you had to give them, say, two buckets of coal for that barracks and that one. You got that type of thing. You got although the man's cleaning latrines, you had to go on something, you had to go down when he was up on the Sunday, you got that job to do, you know, clean that one. The cookhouse, there was some of the, you know, they got you for that. But officially, I mean, we're supposed to be getting trained, you know. And when they couldn't go in the square, we were on the square for a week. And then the snow came. So what they gone, well, we're getting trained in the wagons. They had to get the wagons out, and what they gone in there. And we're like being, which is ridiculous, but can you imagine? I mean, so we march up and down and that. Done the guard after that one. You had to go down and guard. We're done the guards. We had to do guard after a fortnight. I think it was on guard.
Yeah, you had guard duties to do.
Even though it wasn't even dressed for it, but still have gone down.
Before we come on to the actual training part of it, what about recreation? What was they doing in your spare time?
Spare time? Well, it was the winter and you've got darkness. The only place you could go for recreation, and the few people that had money, you know, that type of thing, you could either go down to nothing. The Friday was the bingo night. And it was always for the better half of that one, because you were, they always won, the camp people. So you didn't go at that one. The third you got paid, so you could go down. You had some, most had 15 shilling, and you got there. Some of them got a pound, I mean, so that was what it was. So went down. There were, some of them would stop in the camp and write the letters to the girlfriends.
Were you allowed out of the camp?
No, you were not allowed to come. No, you were stopped in. You could get out because it was a big, there was no, the perimeter wasn't guarded. And where that was, you could get across. When we got the injections on the Friday, you know, we got injected on the Friday, you know, for the first three injections. And your arm's swelling. Me, Ham Harrison, Bear Harry, just went across there and went back to Berkeley and was stuck in Berkeley. Man, I wish I'd stopped at Hurley Home. Up in the camp because the arm was killing us.
What about sport? Was there much opportunity for sport?
Well, as I say, the rain was on. We went and played hockey because that's one of the games. We played hockey. We got bloody lame through it. Football was a non-entity because there was only a few, you know, so only four people there. We played a lot of snowballing and that type of thing because it was the thing.
You touched on before about gambling. Was much gambling went on?
Oh, you've always played. There was a few lads always want to play cards in the bank. Actually, we got that way in any time. So cards, they played cards. There was like, you've got to play cards to kill time.
Was it encouraged or gambling?
Oh, no, no, you'd be called gambling, but it was, you're wrong for it, but it didn't stop you from doing it.
What about leave? Were you given weekend leave?
No, the only leave we got was when we came back, we went in the 6th, that was the first week. The second week we were done most of the, you know, breaking in thing. Next week we broke in again, and that was the 21st, I think it was. So on the 24th, or 23rd or 24th, the lads that was like travelling, there was a few of them up from Yorkshire. There was a lad from Cumbria who was getting in the army through some misdemeanour. He'd get in the wrong regiment. And with a couple of lads from London, they thought Dagenham was Dagenham. So I tore them up in the camp. The lad was supposed to go into the light, this got there, and he came from there. They let him away on the night before. They let them away, not be back on the Christmas. So I forget when the Christmas then. So it was we went away on the 24th, we got paid on the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, I think it was. I think we came back on the 28th. I think we'll wait 4 days. I think it was 4 days we got. And it was work the date. If you see the date again, how it works out. That's how it came across. And we got Russian money actually that day. Well, for the moon. We wouldn't have popped it, by the way, what were they? Russian money. I think it was 7 shilling a day, I think it was. If I'm not mistaken, 7 shilling a day for Russian money.
So how long was this initial period? First initial training.
We've done five. If you count them, we're 6 weeks in the camp. 6 weeks, I think we've done 6 weeks training. That would take you up to January. And I think February. February we went out there in March. I think it was March when we went out there. March. I think it was back in the March when we went across. So February, March. So January to December. December 3, 7, 10, I think would be a day. We went back, went straight out to Berlin.
Went to Berlin, yeah. Went to Berlin. So that first initial training period was 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Leading up to the Christmas.
Aye. Well, it was only 14 to the Christmas. 14 to Christmas then. I think we're about 8 weeks after that. I think we just went about after that one. We weren't in that camp very long. And then the next initiation came in back end of February, March.
So that Christmas was your first break?
Yeah, first break.
Well, how did your family react to you going into the army, and how did your family at home react?
My family, well, my brother was nice, so he wasn't bothered. He just says, well, I hope you keep your nose clean and do that one. My dad says, well, you're going away. Try and keep staying and don't cause any bother. My sister, well, she was with her husband, so that was it. My other sister just getting married, so she was up with her husband, you know, there. I says, there you are, and just went away. Harry's mother, they just went there and left them. And that's it. Came back. Like you say, the oldest there in the big world, you go back, when you went back in, how long you been here and when you going back. Golden rule.